We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome everybody to Redemption Church. I'm so glad that everybody is here. Welcome everybody that's in the room, everybody meeting online. We love all of you guys. Whether you are online or in person, I welcome you to Redemption Church of Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm ready to share the Word of God with you today. Are you ready to receive?
Yes.
We're in our sermon series 2021, right? That's more than just the year. We've been studying about unity, the power of one, and we're in the fourth week of this series. Previous weeks can be found at our website, redemptionplano.com. Our world is in need of unity. Do y'all agree with that?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. There's so much division, anger, hatred, bitterness, loneliness, sorrow. Every day, the news. Every day, your social media page. Every day, your home. Every day, I-75. Every day, the world is completely ripped at the seams. We need unity in our midst. Jesus prayed that we would be one. He prayed that we would be one. Jesus prayed that we, you and I, would be one. He prayed a prayer that you and I can take part in answering by being people that are of one heart, one mind, and one purpose. Today I want to talk to you about being one in marriage. Everybody say marriage. I heard a story where the pastor was visiting the Sunday school class to help out the class. They were going to talk part of the lesson about marriage. So, pastor, the suit, walks in there. He goes, class, what does God teach us about marriage? Right? And this little boy just stands up and blurts out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, that wasn't the answer the pastor was looking for, but even the pastor had to agree that that was great application of Scripture right there. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, right at the bottom of the second chapter of Genesis. I love to see people turning in their Bibles. Church, I love to see you with your Bibles. I hope you're reading your Bibles this year. We're really pushing that all of us would be more in tune and more understanding of what the Word of God says than ever before. Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 22. Verse 22. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Apropos of nothing, we're going to shift real quick. Do you know what a rivet is? You know what a rivet is? It's a building utensil. And a rivet is a two-piece fastener. We'll try to get a picture of that on our screen here in a moment. The two separate pieces of the rivet align through the object they are wished to fasten. All right? These two steel pieces then join together to become one piece. Right there we have a picture of a rivet. There are rivets in all of the skyscrapers we're driving by. Every one of those large buildings have these rivets in them. And they are separate pieces, but they come together. Skyscrapers can stand for 100 years, largely due to the strength of their rivets. Now, I went down to Home Depot. I couldn't find any of the large kind of rivets that they use in the skyscrapers. So what I found carriage bolts, and that was as close as I could get. And as you walked in today, we handed you a carriage bolt. If you'll just look at that, that is one piece. Imagine it as a rivet. A rivet wouldn't have any threads on it. But there's a second piece. And in between these two pieces, they come together on the object they wish to fasten. They also have hot rivets. Everyone said hot rivets. So they have these hot rivets that are attached, and then they are heated up, and it actually welds the two pieces together. Once they are welded, you are not getting that off unless you break somehow the rivet. They are two separate pieces, but once they are welded, they become one piece. Once these pieces are welded, they're no longer two separate pieces. The construction of a marriage requires rivets. It's really a man and a wife, two separate pieces, but they come and they fasten together and they become, somebody help me, one. Our reading in Genesis chapter 2 reveals four rivets to construct people into a marriage. In our reading, God had just finished molding and shaping Eve. Took the rib out of her. Remember, we read that. And then God presented Eve to Adam, and he was pretty impressed. He was all in on this new creation. Adam immediately declares something about this creation he doesn't declare anywhere else. He declares union and declares the spiritual nature of this union. Look back at it, verse 23. This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Adam declares a oneness and a unity between himself and Eve. I believe God was pleased with this union. Can I tell you, God is pleased with the union of marriage. This is God's design. All the way in the beginning of your Bible. So Adam spoke. And then comes this statement. And it's a statement that is not attributed to Adam. Nor is this statement attributed to God. Look at it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. I want you to notice there are no quotation marks around these sentences. It doesn't say, and then God said, nor does it say, then Eve or Adam said. Someone else is doing the talking. So who said this? This is commentary, likely, from the writer of Genesis. Okay? It's definitely commentary. We believe the writer of Genesis is likely to be Moses. Inside this commentary are four rivets for a marriage. Standing hundreds of years, maybe thousand, after this creation, after this moment, the writer of Genesis gives us commentary on the creation, and his commentary is about marriage. The first rivet that we see is leave. Everyone say leave. The word leave is a strong word. It means abandon, forsake, dependence upon. You gotta leave. You gotta get out of here. You've got to forsake. This command does not mean a man should turn his back on family relationships. Doesn't mean that. And the responsibility that involves those family relationships. He's still a son, right? He still has a mom and dad, and the Bible tells us to honor our mother and father, right? Okay. So it's not meaning that he should disregard, turn his back on his family. It doesn't mean to ignore mom and dad. It doesn't mean never call them, never answer their phone calls, never go home for a meal again. That's not what it means. In fact, after marriage, home often becomes more sacred than it was before. I've seen a lot of people, once they're finally married, they go, oh, now I understand. Now I understand why Dad made it such a big deal out of coming to the dinner table. Now I understand why my dad always told me, make sure you kiss your mom. Don't you ever do anything to her. Now I understand, because now I have a wife. In fact, the ties between parent and child even become more precious than they were before, following a marriage. It's always in a different way. Rather, Moses is stressing that the break from home should be complete, because you're starting something brand new. You're starting a brand new family. In order to rivet a marriage together, things must change. Can't stay the same. You are to loosen your dependency on mom and dad. You are to sever provisional ties with home. Some call it cutting the apron strings. Parents should not interfere with this. Children should not depend on their parents when they enter a marriage. There are symptoms of this. Let's touch it. Depending on parents to fund your projects. Going to parents instead of your spouse for emotional support. Running home if there is a problem. If there's drama in mom and dad's life, somehow that drama finds itself in your life. These are signs that you need to leave. Parents must let their children leave, and then they've got to relinquish control of their life back to the child. The principle of leaving is this. Nothing on earth, everyone said on earth, is to take precedence over your relationship with your mate. Nothing on earth is supposed to be more important. And when it does, when something does become more important than your relationship, you are in clear violation of the first fundamental rivet of marriage. I heard a story about a mother and father who gave their precious daughter away in marriage. After the honeymoon, the daughter and her husband, they moved several states away. That was stressful. A few weeks later, the phone rang. The mother answered. It was her daughter. She was in tears because she and her husband had just had their first fight. The daughter asked to speak to her dad, tears in her eyes, on the other side of the phone, hundreds of miles away. The dad walks over. He takes the phone. He went into another room and he talked with his little girl for about 10 minutes. When he came back out, the mother asked, "Well, what did she say?" The father replied, "She and her husband had a big fight and she wants to come home." Then after a moment of silence, the mother asked, "Well, what did you say?" The father answered, "I told her she is home. She's home already." That's really good, because the father recognized that he needed to go to let go of his daughter. And it actually, he had to fight every tendency in his heart to go after his daughter. But he had to let go of his daughter after she said the words, "I do." The first rivet is to leave. Did we read that word already in our verse? We did. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. This is that commentary written by the author of Genesis. That is why a man leaves his father and his mother. It goes on, and is united to his wife. Now, this is the NIV. But if we're in the King James Version, it would really help a preacher out. Because in the King James Version, the word there is cleave. And you know your preachers like rhyming words. So step one is you leave. Step two is you cleave. Everyone say leave. Say cleave. The verb for united to his wife was traditionally translated as cleave. What does cleave mean? It means to stick to stick with, to adhere, to be inseparable. You got to cleave. God intended there to be a bond in this relationship, a lot like the bond of a rivet that we talked about earlier. When you remove something that was meant to be permanent from a construction, it is likely the whole thing will fall in on itself. That's why before you just tear down a wall, Ackley, you need to know if it's a load-bearing wall. All right. It is likely the whole thing will fall in on itself if you remove something that is meant to be permanent. When what was holding up these two souls is removed, they begin to fall apart and fall upon each other. That's when the arguments happen. That's when the bickering happens. That's when the unforgiveness happens. That's when the worst things begin to happen. We begin to strike out at each other. We begin to harm one another. So many people feel like doing something to hurt our offender. It's natural, right? Why? Because when we choose to rip apart what God has put together in permanence, the collateral damage is severe. You're starting to strike at something that was meant to be permanent. And as you're removing it, yes, things get really bad really quickly. When you marry, you're signing on for a lifetime voyage with no escape hatch, with no bailout clauses in the contract. When one partner sees it this way, but the other partner does not see it this way, there is going to be trouble. It is said that over half of all marriages end in divorce. Who is not shocked by that stat? Who's not shocked? Who has heard that stat many times? Yes. Over 50%, just over 50% of marriages end in divorce. We need the rivet in order to cleave to each other. When we stand in the marriage ceremony, we make a vow to love each other. And we make that vow to the Lord. And that vow is to cleave. We say words like, for better or worse, from this day forward, till death do us part. God is very stern about this. Cleaving to one another in marriage affects the favor of the Lord in our lives. Did you know this? Who wants the favor of the Lord in your life? Cool. A few of y'all. You should all want the favor of the Lord in your life. And how you treat your spouse will affect how God treats you. Malachi chapter 2, verse 13. Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because God no longer looks with favor on your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. And you ask why? That's a pretty good question, right? God, I'm crying. I'm praying. I'm at your altar. I'm seeking your will. But you know what? I find no favor in my life. I don't find any blessing in my life. And then you ask, why? Scripture goes on. It says, it is because the Lord is the witness between you and the wife of your youth. See, this is kind of different than what you'd expect, right? You're expecting the Lord to say, it's because you got this secret sin in your life. It's because you aren't paying your tithes or it's because you've not been going to church enough. No, the reason you are not finding the favor of God in your life, he points to your marriage. Do you see it? Now, who has never heard that preached? If you've heard it preached, you've not heard it enough, I guarantee it. It continues, you have been unfaithful to her, though she is your partner. The wife of your marriage covenant, has not the one God made you. He made you both. You belong to Him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Oh, another good question. I would think that we get this one wrong too. Think about all the things you would answer that. What's the one, what is the, what does the one God seek? Oh man, He wants me to pray more. Oh, He wants me to give more money. Oh, He wants me to donate more time. He wants me. These are the things you're thinking, right? Let's look at what God says. Godly offspring. The one God seeks that you, husband, and you, wife, would have things so right in your life that you have godly children. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord, the God of Israel, does violence to the one he should protect, says the Lord Almighty. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful. You need to leave your former wife, former your life, not wife. I'm preaching against that. You need to leave. That's the first rivet. The second rivet is that you need to cleave. You need to cling to your spouse as your life and do not be unfaithful. Let's take a little time here because there's a lot of ways to be unfaithful. We think of that one way to be unfaithful, but I'm telling you, if you are not there for each other when it is rough, that's unfaithful. If you don't celebrate each other, that's unfaithful. If you remember past deeds of a year ago that should have been forgiven, that's unfaithful. Do you understand that? If one of you is trying to serve God and the other one's not and pulling the other one down, that's unfaithful. You need to leave. You need to cleave. And number three, the third rivet is you need to unite. Genesis 2 says, united to his wife and they became one flesh. The Hebrew word flesh in this context means the whole life together. All of the life. It's not just a sexual union. Usually when we read those words, we just think about a sexual union. It is so much more than that. It is every part of your life. It's not just the bedroom. It's also the kitchen table. It's not just the bedroom. It's also the car trip. It's not just the bedroom. It's greeting each other at the front door. It's all of your life. When they unite in marriage, they begin a process of growing together in every aspect of their life. Married folks, you listen. Are you growing together in every aspect of your life? As welded together rivets can't be separated, so too should a husband and wife be inseparable. It is not enough to just stay married. You listen to me. Because when I'm talking about unfaithful, when I'm talking about not being joined together and united, I am meaning a whole lot more than just staying married. There are countless marriages that resist divorce, but they are still not united. Somebody say amen if I'm right. Y'all follow that? You understand it? Well, well-known theologian and comedian Rodney Dangerfield said this of his marriage. He said, we sleep in separate rooms. We have dinner apart and we take separate vacations. We're doing everything we can to keep our marriage together. The whole reason you leave and the whole reason you cleave is so that two become one flesh, so that the two may become one whole relationship. Eve was pulled out of Adam. There was a part of Adam that was taken out of him. He was missing something. What he was missing was found and flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. God has taken something out of us that we will find in another person through marriage. That is designed from the beginning. I've seen some lonely marriages. Anyone see a lonely marriage? Oh man, they have the certificate of marriage. They're recognized by the U.S. government as being married. But they are far from being a united couple. There is no union there. Do you have oneness in your marriage? Often the church has preached to young couples, you need to get married as a way to combat sex out of marriage. I've heard that preach. God is absolutely for sex being a part of the marriage covenant, 100%. If you have questions about that, glad to talk to you about it. Won't even be awkward. But are we forgetting to preach the full message to young couples? This is the full message. Become one. Become one. Don't just get married so that you resist fornication. Become one. That's God's plan from the beginning. Be unified. Leave, cleave, and unite. That's three rivets. I'm going to give you the fourth one. Intimacy. After you leave, after you cleave, after you unite, then comes intimacy. Scripture says they were naked and not ashamed. Now this motif, this theme of nakedness is introduced in chapter 2, right here at the end of chapter 2. Does it play an important role in the following chapter? What do they feel when they sin? They realize that they are naked, but they are ashamed. But here, one chapter early, before the fall, when they are perfectly in the design of God, they are naked and unashamed. Some of you have never seen that before. Go read your Bible. Go look in the Word of God. I am not sure that we can really understand all that's being said here in these words. In our day, whenever we hear the word naked, we usually think of immoral things. In fact, whenever I say the word naked, I almost have to look around the room and make sure there's no kids present, because naked has a connotation that's immoral. Nakedness gets us thinking about things that are immoral, like pornography. Pornography is a poor substitute for intimacy. Pornography is not intimate. Rather, the word naked here simply means one is laid bare so that there are no more secrets. They are laid bare and all is seen. Nothing is hidden. There are no secret thoughts. There are no secret desires. There are no secrets of any kind. Everything is known. When you ask people that are getting divorced, what's going on? They'll usually say, I don't know what's going on. It's like they've got secrets. This was not the case in a couple created for God's purpose and living in it in Genesis chapter 2. They were naked, but they were not ashamed. They were innocent and they had integrity. They were innocent in their actions towards each other. They had integrity towards each other. In this perfect state of union, Adam and Eve would never, ever have thought to not trust one another. Just like they didn't know what naked was, they didn't know what distrust was. It never even would have dawned on them to not trust one another. Lord, put that in our marriages where it wouldn't even dawn on us not to trust our spouse. That is something that's been robbed from us, but something God can give us back. It's something that God can restore. that we would not even think that our loved one was hiding something or lying. Wouldn't that be beautiful to have God redeem that? He can redeem it. He can redeem it. And man and wife, I don't care what your past is. God can redeem you. He can put all that other stuff behind, cover it in the blood, and now you can be a new person that is trustworthy, a new person in Christ. In this perfect state of union, Adam and Eve never thought to trust each other, to distrust each other. God means for us to have that today. Marriage is about intimacy. It is the final rivet that holds a marriage together. Most marriages and long-term dating relationships reach this sort of unspoken settlement. Here it is. I'm not coming any closer. This is as far as I'm willing to go. But you know what? I'm not going to leave you. That ought to make you happy. Kisses his wife, rolls over, goes to bed. I'm going to say it one more time. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to try. I'm not, this is who I am. This is all you're going to get. As far as I'm willing to go. But you know what? I haven't left you, so just be happy about it. Anybody see anything like that? You can share a bed. You can eat at the same table. You can watch the same Netflix. And parent the same children. And still not be intimate. Your marriage will naturally move to a state of isolation. Because under this fall, that's where we live. You will move to a state of isolation, and suddenly you have two people surrounded by each other, yet lonely, look at each other like strangers. Marriage is about intimacy. Right now in your marriage, you are either moving towards oneness, unity, and intimacy, or you're moving towards division, isolation, and divorce. Do you believe that? You have to lovingly and energetically rivet yourselves together. I wanted to tell you these four words. Marriage is a miracle. Say those words. Adam looks and sees a being that is separate from him. They both have their autonomy. They both have their own thoughts. They have their own feelings. They both have their own gifts and abilities. Yet Adam does not see a separation between these people. He says, your flesh is my flesh. Your bone structure, it's my bone structure. We are one. This is a miracle. Marriage is a miracle. God creates two pieces, and yet they become one. It is oneness. This is important. Listen. It is not sameness. It's oneness, but we're different people with different thoughts, different actions, different gifts. Men and women are different. We could just talk about that all day, couldn't we? Men and women are different. I don't care what the world tries to say about this subject. No, men and women, pretty different. Sometimes it's hard for us to even understand each other. And yet, in God's miracle, even though we are different, even though we are not the same, we become one. Jesus Christ, that we would be one, and I believe He extends that desire to our marriage. What is keeping you from that unity in your relationship today? What's keeping you from that? What is keeping you? The power of a rivet is they become one as they attach to a structure. The rivets attach to a piece of steel. Then it is as if the two pieces are one. with the plate of steel. So now we have three objects becoming welded together, united together. What is your marriage attached to? There's so many relationships that go, well, we were able to talk about stuff. I think we should get married. They were interesting to talk to. You better be attaching more than talk about, I don't know, the latest soap opera news or something like that, or politics or you better attach to something better than that. What am I suggesting that you should attach to? You should attach as one to the Lord Jesus Christ. You should attach as one to God Almighty, who created you both. We talked in this series about Jesus being the mediator between God and man. He is the one who reconciles man back to God. He fixes our relationship, brings us back together to God. Jesus is also the mediator between all of mankind. That doesn't get preached enough. God is the mediator between you and me. If you got beef with me, Jesus wants to bring us back together. Jesus can be the mediator between you and your spouse. Jesus went to the cross and took the full punishment so that you and your spouse could be completely reconciled back together. Be reconciled back to God. No matter what, you can be forgiven. Who knows that's true? No matter what, you can be forgiven. I don't care what you did. You can be forgiven. No matter what, you can forgive. It usually doesn't get as many amens. No matter what, you can forgive. That thing that you're holding on to, you can forgive that. Just like God can forgive you, Jesus Christ is the same mediator that stands between you and God. Let Him be the same mediator that stands between you and the other person. My goodness. You can forgive. Jesus can give us this miracle. We need a miracle today. Do you know that? Married couples, we need a miracle. People that aren't married, but maybe one day want to be. We need a miracle, because roughly 50% of marriages, they end in divorce. That means there are far too many future divorces sitting in this room right now. There are far too many future divorces watching me on the internet right now. God, give us a miracle. God, save our marriages. Listen. If the doctor came to you and said, you have a 50-50 chance of living, would that affect you? Would you say, doc, what do I need to do? Tell me what I need to give up and tell me what I need to start doing. Is that what you would do? Yet, I'm telling you as a pastor, I have preached to marriages in this place. I have preached fervently that they are in danger, and they have walked out of this place unchanged. They walked out without prayer. They walked out with zero urgency, only to text me later that they were getting divorced. I'm telling you, we are in danger, and we have a God who does miracles. So we need to do something about it. Today, you may be sharing a bed, a house, a checking account, but in an honest moment, you would confess you're not united in marriage. Jesus can give you a miracle today in your home. I don't know if you don't believe that. I don't know what it is. Some people believe Jesus can do one miracle, but not the other miracle. That doesn't make any kind of sense. If you believe that He can feed the 5,000, but He can't help you and your wife love each other again, that's insane. Jesus can do a miracle today. Close your eyes and say those words. Jesus can do a miracle today. Jesus can do a miracle today. look at me. You may be hurt from a divorce. There's people in this room hurt from a divorce. No shame in that. We don't shame you. We love you. You may be unmarried and looking for your future. No matter where you are today, I want you to invite God to do a miracle for you today. Married couples, leave. Cleave. Unite. Be intimate. Everyone else, listen. You let Jesus Christ be your mediator. Let Him be your mediator between you and God. Let Him be your mediator between you and another person. These altars are open right now.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.